Our Old Testament scripture this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and it's on page 320 in the Pew Bible. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of this leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance to Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something different, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It's the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11, and then 16 through 20. Let us listen with ears anew to the stories that we know. "And after this, Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. And he said to them, 'The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the overseer to send workers to the harvest. Be on your way, and remember, I am sending you as lambs into the midst of wolves. Do not carry a walking stick or a knapsack. Wear no sandals and greet no one along the way. In whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be upon this house.' If the people live peaceably there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will come back to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, from the laborer is worth a wage. Don't keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter, after they welcome you, eat what they set before you, and heal those who are sick in that town. And say to them, 'The reign of God has drawn near to you.' If the people of any town you enter don't welcome you, go into the streets and say, we shake the dust of this town from our feet as testimony against you. But know that the reign of God has drawn near. Anyone who listens to you listens to me. Anyone who rejects you rejects me. And those who reject me reject the one who sent me. The 72 disciples returned with joy, saying, Rabbi, even the demons obeyed us in your name. And Jesus replied, I watched Satan fall from the sky like lightning. Look, I've given you the power to tread on snakes and scorpions, even all of the forces of the enemy, and nothing will ever injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in the fact that the spirits obey you so much as that your names are inscribed in heaven. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and contemplating of God's holy word. So our scriptures this morning give us two very different journeys. One is the journey towards healing. We have a proud general humbling himself at a prophet's door, led not by miracles, but by the words of a servant. The other is a journey of peace. A group of ordinary people, called disciples in this story, set out to other communities with no provisions. No extra coin in their pockets, no food, no extra clothing, just open hands, open hearts, and words of peace. Both are stories of what happens when God's healing and power come through, not through spectacle, but through simplicity. Not through thunder, not through boisterous voices and long directives and long missives, but through trust. Not from the center of power, but from its edges. From a small girl saying, if only you would go and speak to the prophet. The first half of our story this morning is Naaman's story. And Naaman is the commander of a very large army. He is held in high esteem of his king. The second act is about the 72 in Luke. Just ordinary folk. No titles, no status, just working hands and feet. Both stories, healing begins with the overlooked. In our story from Naaman, it's a young enslaved girl, one that has been taken from Israel back into the Aramean property, who points Naaman to the way of the prophet. In Luke, it's the disciples with no possessions, no authority, sent to rely entirely on the hospitality of strangers. And don't we find that God often speaks like this, speaking through the small voice, acting through the outsider, the person on the margins, calling us to look again at those the world tries to ignore. I know that quite often we ask the question, where is God? Where is God? Where is God in anything that we do? Where is God? Speaking through the small voice is where God is. Acting through the outsider is where God is. Calling us to look again and again to the margins of our world. Perhaps we should ask the question, though, through whom might God be speaking that we have failed to see? Would be the better question to where is God? In Naaman's story, he comes expecting grandeur. He has left the empire as a mighty commander of an army. He has a letter from his king. He has lots of treasure, letters, clothing for 10 days. I don't know how long he planned on staying. That's quite a bit. Instead, after all the turmoil, he ends up with Elisha. And when he gets there, he really thinks that surely the prophet's going to come out and talk to me. Why wouldn't the prophet come out and talk to me? Wave his hands over my bad spots, call on the name of his God, and some impressive display of grandeur. Surely he knows the story that Naaman knows the story of Elijah and Baal, and if Elisha is a follower of Elijah, then why would he not be able to kill all of the demons and heal him properly? Instead, he gets the message from yet another unnamed serving person: go to the Jordan and wash. Just go down to the Jordan, wash. And he's like, but, that's a muddy river and I don't want to get in it. My waters are far better than this. He is offended by the mundane, everyday, ordinary of what life is. The 70 are told, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, no walking stick, only eat what is given to you. How ordinary can this be? They are not told to perform signs of miracles. They're given the power to do that, but the directive is not to do this. They're not told to argue theology. They're not told to talk about this God. Just bring peace. Offer presents. Accept welcome. We should be so ordinary as to bring peace, to offer presents, and accept. Catch that word, it's accept. Not offer welcome, but accept welcome where it is given to us. Both stories reveal this, that the sacred often comes dressed in the ordinary. If we demand the spectacular, we might just miss the blessing that's already within our reach. Naaman finally listens, not to the prophet, but to his sermon, his servant, that third unnamed person in his story. And he goes to the Jordan, and he goes, all right, I'll just dip myself seven times and see what happens. And he is healed. His skin is restored, but a lot of other things happen as well. If we know anything of the stories in the Old Testament, if you had a skin disease, A, what sin did you commit that God was punishing you? And B, you're ostracized for that skin disease. And they use the word leprosy because that's a word that they knew and understood. But it could be eczema, could be dry skin, it could be acne, anything. Too many freckles, too much melanin in your skin, too much coloring. But he is healed. It's not only his skin, it's his heart. And he returns not just cleaned, but changed. He is now humbled. He is now grateful. The 72 return with joy as well, not because of the miracles that happened, but because they felt something bigger. They felt that they were part of something bigger than themselves. They saw how God was already at work when they arrived. They experienced the Holy Spirit moving through their simple acts of peace, healing. Real healing is not just about the body. It's about community. It's about humility. It's about transformation. And it's an awful lot, whole bunch about grace. Ordinary, everyday grace. Grace that is abundantly given to us without us trying for much of anything. So whether it's Naaman bathing in the river, or the disciples walking dusty roads, God's healing doesn't just fix what is broken. It reorientates our hearts towards love, towards each other, towards the divine. And did you catch the last sentence of the gospel reading this morning? Jesus says something extremely dramatic. The disciples have returned home and they are super excited. Demons have obeyed them. Demons have left people, have healed people. Power has flowed through them. But Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are already written in heaven. Don't celebrate the power. Celebrate the belonging. Naaman has learned this as well. His healing wasn't a prize for his greatness. It was a gift of grace. He wasn't made whole because of his rank, but because he finally stepped into trust. Perhaps you've heard the saying, it's been around for a long time in the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are and where you are on life's journeys, you are welcomed here. It's not just a slogan. It's a proclamation of the very gospel that we have just heard about. You belong. Your name is already written down. You are already loved and beloved. So today we see two movements. Naaman is sent to the Jordan. The disciples are sent out into communities. One is to be healed, the other is to heal. But both are called to trust in what is simple, small, and sacred. May we all do the same. May we listen to the voices that we might otherwise ignore. May we find God's presence not only in this nave, in this sanctuary, but also in the streets, in the rivers, in the kitchens, in the grocery store, in the post office, in the ordinary days of our lives. And may we rejoice, not in the power that we hold, but in the grace that holds us. In the name of the one who sends us, who heals us, and who welcomes us back with ordinary grace every day. Amen.